The Sunday morning service was going quite smoothly when suddenly a flash of light and a cloud of smoke appeared from the pulpit, followed by a large boom. When the smoke cleared, the congregation was astonished. And they saw a figure complete with horns, a pitchfork, and a tail stand in front of them. Immediately, panic set in. People started crowding through the doors, trampling each other in their rush to get away. Satan watched the exit with great glee. But his mood was disturbed by the sight of one man still lounging comfortably in his seat. "Do you know who I am?" Satan thundered. The man's reply was sort of nonchalant. "Sure do." Satan was puzzled for sure, but he said, "Do you fear me? Don't you fear me?" "Nope." "Why not?" The man seemed irritated at the question and said, "What for?" "I've been married to your sister for 35 years. "Oh, that's bad.
Not nice.
I know that wasn't nice. I know that wasn't nice, but it's so funny." Let's be honest for a moment. We've all experienced boogie monsters.
Amen.
I'm not talking about the ones that hide under your bed. You know, not that, you know, I'm talking about your worries and fears. Yeah, not Sean either. That doesn't count either. Yeah, that's different kind of worry or fear. I'm talking about being scared of something. Worried about something. Scripture tells us not to worry. 365 times says not to fear. Yet, we do. Most of us, if not all of us, have worried about something at some time. When the bank account doesn't have the funds that we thought it should have, we worry about where rent's going to come from, or how we're going to buy groceries, or whatever. Some worry about whether people like them or not. And in regard, let me just say this. Someone once said, "You probably wouldn't worry about what people think of you if you could know how seldom they really do." People don't think about us that much, most of the time.
That's right.
But yet, we do. And the truth is, worry has the ability to stop us in our tracks. It's the fear of what if. But you can choose to let worries control you, or you can just take them back to God and let Him give you peace in the midst of the storm. It's really up to us. We have that choice. You can choose. As we see people, as people walked in today, you may have been able, if someone got a new haircut, you would have noticed. If their outfits didn't quite match, you would have maybe noticed. If they had a bad hair day, you may have picked up on those things. But if someone walked in with worries or fears, chances are we would not have saw it in the crowd. It's more difficult for us to spot those things because most of us, whether we should or not, by the way, you shouldn't, hide those feelings. We hide that fear. We hide that worry. We hide those things, not knowing for sure what to go to. And so we just tend to worry about and think about and do things that we know we really probably shouldn't do by Scripture. It's not healthy for us to do that. God gives us peace above that, but yet we find ourselves doing that. So we really ought to cast all our cares on Him because He cares for us. Amen?
Amen?
Let me say something you already know. I hope you already know it. If you try to hide your worries, try to hide your fears, God knows and God sees. He understands. He's been there. He's had those things. And Corrie Ten Boom once said, "Worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." We all have fears. We have that FOMO, the fear of missing out. We have the fear of crowds. There's fear of heights. One of the more recent on the list. By the way, the list, if you go through the list, if you look on, like, if you Google fears of people, it's like, it's endless. It's like, it just, there's a fear of everything. But But one of the most recent ones on the list, it's called nomophobia. N-O-M-O phobia. You know what it is? Any ideas?
No.
The fear of being without your phone. Yeah, nomophobia. No more phone. No more phone. That's a fear. People have fear of of having lost their phone. It's like, it's just, that's like, and there are fears of all sorts and all kinds. Amen? I when I was in school, before I knew Jesus, I went to walks of school, and elementary school had walks of school. Loved elementary school. Because at that point, in the grass by where the elementary school was, I went to Wakazoo, there was always garter stakes. Always. And so come break time, we call it recess, I'd go and I'd find a garter snake. And I would, pick that bugger up, and I'd be going to all the little girls, going, and they, you know, big scream, and they just all just take that, they just flipped out. Now, that's not working really well. Let's try, it's this thing here. It's this, the wire sort of gets caught.
Didn't like the snake.
Yeah, didn't like the snake story. So I used to love to pick up and scare the girls with the garter snakes. Loved it. It was a riot. So we're at the cottage. Mm-hmm. We're at the cottage quite a while ago. And my niece saw one of these garter snakes on the logs that we had there. And she knew her dad would never, 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 never go get them. And so she said, Uncle George, will you get that snake for me? I said, sure. I used to love those things. Scare the little girls. And so I went to pick that bugger up, and he moved, and I screamed like a girl. It's like, it was totally different. You know, now at 60, I'm a little different with snakes. Matter of fact, I was golfing with John Kriegel, a friend of mine in Tyler, Texas. We were out golfing years ago. And I'm not, like, my golf is, how can I put this? Sporadic.
Bad.
The balls are, like, all over. Sometimes not too far, sometimes a little further. This was one of those balls that just didn't go too far. And so there was a pond that was right in front of us, and so I was, I missed the pond. I shot before it, though, so it wasn't that far. So John said, I'll go get the ball for you. And so John has to walk up to this pond, and all of a sudden, in the grass, he hears, it's like, I'll leave it there. Like, yeah, it only costs me a buck. You know, you can. It's a real rattlesnake. It's really good over there. So he heard that. So I'll leave it there. Hit again. Like, good idea. So I hit the second ball. He didn't give me a mulligan. Let me take the shot. So we all have fears. Mine right now is a little fear of snake, a little bit. But that's what it is. And so I'm sure that, you know, we've all had those things. Worry. It's something that we all do. Fears. It's something that most have. If I was to go around the room today, I'm sure I could probably have everybody give me one of their worries, one of their fears, one of the things they've gone through. I could probably have, everybody would probably have something they could say that they've worried about or feared about or fret about. They're booty monsters. Their worries and their fears. But to be honest, worry should lead us to draw closer to God, not further from Him. I'm pretty sure that most of us have worried about things we never should have worried about in the first place. Worried that something you thought could or might happen, but never did. And by the way, 90% of things, turn me down just a tad bit, Randy, just turn me down just a little bit. 90% of what we worry about never happens anyway. Yet, we still worry. What if they have more likes than me on Facebook? What if they don't like me? What if they laugh at me? What if I invite them to church and they say no or refuse? What if they make fun of me? What if? If there was anyone had an opportunity, maybe even a right to worry as the Apostle Paul. He was under arrest, waiting on a sentence that probably was one that could have easily taken his life. And look what Paul has to say about that. I'm going to read from Judy's like favorite book, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I know, we talk about it today, she says, that book, whatever. 2 Corinthians 11, this is a good verse. 22 through 27 says this. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. Next one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea. You think he's in danger?
Yeah.
And in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep.
Oh, I've been there.
I have known hunger and thirst and have gone often without food. I have been cold and naked. Yet through all of that, Paul learned that his God was faithful. During one of Paul's shipwrecked encounters, ordeals, after they arrive on the island of Malta, Paul's gathered some sticks. They've been welcomed by the people to the village. And Paul's gathered sticks, and this is what he says in Acts 28:1-3. It says, after we had safely reached land, so he's shipwrecked, they're coming ashore, we discovered that the island we were on was Malta. The people who lived there showered us extraordinary kindness, for they welcomed us around the fire, and they built because it was cold and rainy. When Paul had gathered an armful of brushwood and was setting it on the fire, a venomous snake was driven out by the heat and lashed into Paul's hands with fangs. Now think about that. Paul's trying to be a nice guy helping out. He's trying to get all of the things out, and a venomous snake comes back from his hand. That snake thing. Oh, I love that. When the islanders saw the snake dangling from Paul's hand, they said to one another, no doubt about it, this guy's a murderer. Even though he escaped death at sea, justice has now caught up with him. Paul shook the snake off, flung it into the fire, and suffered no harm at all. Everyone watched him, expecting him to swell up or to suddenly drop dead. After observing him for a long time and seeing that nothing unusual happened, they changed their minds and said, he must be a god. Wow. Paul. And yet, it's those situations, shipwrecked, lashes 40 times to say minus one, all those things, multiple experience. And yet, Paul, right from a Roman prison, says this in Philippians. Don't worry about anything. Paul, wait a second. You've been shipwrecked. You've had problems. You've had a snake bite you on the hand. You've had lashes on your back. You've been imprisoned, I don't know how many times. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then, if you do that, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Paul's trying to tell us that when you feel the need to worry, go to God instead. When you feel that need to worry, let it lead you to God instead. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Listen, you can tell God what you have. You can tell God your needs. You can tell God your worries. You can tell God your problems. You can tell God anything. He's Papa. He cares. He really does. He's not looking and saying, oh, there they are again, doubt. There they are again, worried. There they are fearful. I mean, he's Papa. He really does care. He really does want to help. He wants to bring us a peace that passes all understanding. He wants us to get, even in the chaos, a peace that says, peace, be still in my soul. God is bigger than your biggest worry. Bigger than all the boogie monsters you might have. He's bigger than those. Matthew 6, 25 through 34 says this. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will drink or eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? By the way, the answer would be no. You can take it away a lot, but it'd be no, in case you weren't sure. Verse 28. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And that's an amen, right? You know, and listen, we all have sometimes even what we consider legitimate worries. When I first got married, someone from our church told my wife, not me, because they didn't have the audacity to tell me, that we should not get married when we did, because I didn't make enough money, because money was everything, you know, to them, evidently. I made $601 an hour when I got married. We didn't have much. The car we had, someone gave us because of my good looks. I mean, he told me it was mine. Maybe he meant hers, but whatever. But it just, you know, it was given to me. It was not, we did purchase one car, and I got total out, and it was like, you know, that car was like, we had just, you know, everything. My dad helped, her dad helped, and we had a lot of help growing up, but God helped a lot, too. And so we're looking for apartments. She's living in Ann Arbor, trying to come back here. Before we got married, she's going to stay here, so we get to know each other a little better. I live with mom and dad still. I just want you to understand, let me just clarify. She had the apartment, I had mom and dad. And so, you know, we had this apartment, we're looking around for apartments, and we looked at one apartment, and it was like you walked in, and there was, you know, the rooms was, you know, black walls, red ceiling, blue floors. It was just really, you know, she took off her shoe and hit cockroach while we were looking through the building, and sort of think, oh, Jesus, there's got to be something better. And we found this little apartment that was down the road that we were just driving by, and this teacher owned it from Jenison. And I went there, and, you know, we looked at the apartment. It was beautiful. It was a really nice little upstairs apartment. It was really nice for the two of us, cozy, and everything worked really well. We could not afford it. I told him, I said, this is out of our price range. There's no way I can afford it. And he's like, oh, well, you know. And so you worry. You start to wonder, you know, really, I mean, do we really have to go back to the black walls and blue ceiling? And, you know, do we want to go back to all that? And we're just asking God silently, you know, God, there's got to be an open door somewhere. And he said, well, what do you mean you can't? I said, well, I told him it's what I make. I says, and I put down, I'm starting to write everything down at our bills. I had a little carving at that point for one of the cars we had. And I said, you know, but I take 10% for the church right away. And he looked like, wow, cool. And so he lowered the rent for us to be able to afford it. And then we're in this apartment. And then I lose, my job, I get laid off. And I used to worry, God, It's like, God, you said you'd be faithful. And listen, I was just a relatively new believer. I mean, I'd been around for a few years, but I didn't have, I was a little Doubting Thomas a little more back then than I am now. And so I lost, I laid off my job. I was going, now what are you going to do? Can't afford the rent he lowered for us. Like, this is cool. And right at that very moment, the people downstairs moved out. So he hired me to paint the downstairs rooms for a moment when I was working, and took it off my rent. And then, we're just going through times. We just couldn't afford, we're just looking at groceries. I mean, our grocery budget back then was what, like 20 bucks a week? Maybe? 60
a month.
60 a month.
So $15
a week. $15 a week is what I mean, try to do that now. It's like you couldn't even, get out the Pepsi almost. But the idea is you just, so with $15 a week to spend on groceries, that's what our budget was. I mean, to keep everything else intact and flowing. Joy did not work. She stayed home and took care of the kids for years. And so, we're all just going through this process. We're thinking, oh, great, what are we going to do? And we had helped someone get back home to another. They moved out of state. They moved here, went to our church. I helped them financially get back. And we're thinking, boy, that would be nice to have that back again. It had been a year and a half, 2 years since you helped them out. And then that week, we had no money for groceries. Lo and behold, he decides to send me a check that I had never asked for back in return, by the way. He sends a check back to give us the money we need for the bills for that week, that month. And it was, God is always good. We worry about sometimes things that we really don't need to worry about, because God really does care. God really does have us under control. God really does do things for us. Knowing God is there reminds you that you don't have to face it all alone. You've got a body of believers that care. Remember, church, during the difficult, dark seasons of worry and fear. By the way, the book of Ecclesiastes, there are seasons that were a time to die, a time to mourn, a time to weep, a time to cry, a time to mourn, a time to laugh, a time to joy. I mean, there's 28 different seasons in that book of Ecclesiastes. Never does one say to quit. Never does one say to worry. Never does one say to fear. It doesn't say time to worry, time to fear. It's not there. It's not there. And so we've got to understand that in those seasons when you're going through the dark times, when you're going through the difficult moments, you're going through that season of worry and fear, and you just don't know where to turn next. Just remember, God knows. God cares. It's in those seasons that we can just trust Him and know that He's with you, that He'll never leave us or forsake us. Scripture even promises us. Look at this. Psalm 23, verse 4. We know it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We read that. We've quoted that. We look and say, oh, and yet do we really believe that? The same God that created the mountains, the oceans, the stars, that very same God that did all of that is the same God that is right there with you in those moments of worry, of fear. He's with us. He's there. That very same God that says, I'll take you there. I'll do what I need to. He's with you in the midst of all that life. He's with you in the midst of the storms, the chaos, the disappointments, in every circumstance. He is there. He will never leave you or forsake you. Oh, listen, you may have struggled. Listen, we'll all struggle. People say, well, I have Jesus, you'll never struggle again. No, you will. He never said, as a matter of fact, Jesus said, you'll have trouble in this world. We live in a broken world, broken people. So you'll struggle. But in the midst of the struggle, God is there with you. God is still there to help you. God is still there to protect you. God's still there to be with you and help you through that time. That's the difference between the believer and the non-believer. We have a God that loves us. Not the non-believer too, He does. But when we trust in Him, when we lean not on our own understanding, but always acknowledge Him, He directs our path. And so when He directs our path, it's easy to get to the path we're supposed to go. It's not always an easy path. Matter of fact, He said, you know, broad's the way, narrow's the way to get to heaven, narrow, broad's the other way to go. So it's just, he's there all in the midst of all of that. He is still there. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
He'll never leave us or forsake us. But when you draw near to God, I promise you, God will draw near to you. I'm going to show this video. It's where I got the idea from this message to begin with. Let's get guys, it's kind of humorous and stuff, but they talk about boogie monsters. And when we get done, I want to pray after the video, so I'm not closing yet. I want to pray and everything. And I want to share one more verse before we leave and depart, but check this out.
There's a booger monster under my bed, Dad.
Buddy, it's like 3 in the morning. The booger monster's asleep.
No, right? No, Daddy. The booger monster's under my bed.
There's not a booger monster under your bed.
Yes, Daddy.
No, there's not.
Why would you say that?
If there's a booger monster under your bed, he's there because you keep wiping your boogers there,
Daddy.
All right?
Daddy, I'm cereal. There's a booger monster under my bed. I'm cereal, Dad. I'm cereal.
You're cereal.
I'm cereal.
You're cereal?
Yes, I'm cereal.
No flaking.
Dad, quit treating me like a Fruit Loop and listen to me, Dad. There's a booger monster on my bed.
I'll tell you what I want to do right now is give you a sugar smack and go back to sleep.
Dad, no time for tricks because there's a booger monster on my bed.
You know what? Dad's about to say Cheerios and get out of here.
You won't do that because I'm special, okay? Now listen. Listen. Dad, I think I'm sleeping with you and Mom.
No, there's no booger monster
in
your bed.
Yes, he's real.
No, he's
yes,
not.
Yes, he's real. His name is Sebastian. He's real. Real as the day is long. He's real, Dad.
His name's Sebastian?
Yes, Sebastian. He's scary.
Is he French?
Yes. Yes, he goes boo, 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 boo. Yes. And that's scary. That's scary, okay, Dad? That's really scary.
You need to go back to sleep.
No, no, I just think I'll sleep with you and Mom.
No, you don't.
Yes.
No,
Mom!
No. Don't you wake up. Don't you wake up your mother, all right? Listen, you don't, you know what? You don't want to go sleep with Mom and I.
Why?
You know, you know why?
Why?
Well, I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because there's a booger monster in our bed, and it has icy cold toes and prickly legs. It snores like a banshee.
Hey, Dad.
You don't have to raise your hand. We're in your room.
But Dad, what's a banshee?
What's a banshee?
What's a banshee?
A banshee. All right. That's something that when it's young, it's all like, oh, look, that's cute. And then it gets older, and you're like, what happened? Yeah, that's...
Hey, Dad.
Yeah.
Hey, Dad, just because, you know, we're talking and all.
Yeah.
I told you my booger monster's name. You know, I confided in you.
Yeah.
Sebastian.
Yeah.
What's your booger monster's name?
Nancy.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah.
That's the same name as Mom.
I know, right?
Does Mom know?
No.
I shall tell her.
No,
Mom!
No. Shh, no.
Mom!
No.
There's a disturbance in the fort!
No. Shh, no. I'll give you money. Don't tell your mom.
Dad, that's a bribe.
Whatever works.
Dad, that's a bribe.
Good money.
No, that'll...
Spending money.
Dad, that'll put me on Dr. Phil faster than you can blink, Dad. I don't know about that, Dad. I don't know about that kind of stuff.
But bribe. You'll be able to afford it, so...
Dad, yes. I'm scared, Dad.
Listen. Dad. No, listen. You don't need to be scared.
Why?
Okay. No. Listen. Here's the truth. Okay. We all have booger monsters in our lives.
You have booger monsters?
Oh, I have booger monsters. Grandpa has booger monsters.
Grandpa does not have booger monsters.
He does have.
Grandpa does not.
Trust me, he does. He gave several of his booger monsters to me. All right.
We all have booger monsters, all right? But we don't need to be afraid of them.
No.
Okay? No, no. There's no reason to be afraid of them, because listen, don't ever forget, God is bigger than the booger monsters, all right? No matter what they are.
Okay. All right.
Does that make sense?
I guess so.
I mean, the Bible even tells us that, you know? We don't have to be afraid.
The Spirit of the Lord is not of fear, but of power, love, sound mind.
Did I teach you that?
Yeah, no, Celebration Place taught me that.
Okay, makes more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, let me put it to you a different way.
Dad.
No, let me explain it to you.
Not going to truth. I should have just brought some to the forefront of my mind, but I'm good now, Dad.
No, listen,
You can go back to bed, Dad.
Hey, listen.
No, Dad, I'm good.
I'm not a good parent if I don't over-explain it to you, all right? That's what we do, so it's not our fault when you mess up, all right? So let me give you an illustration that I think is fantastic, all right? Okay, this is really good. This is an illustration of how God takes care of us, all right? Do you remember last year when we went to that amusement park?
Disneyland?
Well, I was going to keep it generic, but okay, yeah. When we went there, we saw, you know, Goofy and several of your other cousins. Yeah, they were there. But we were there about halfway through the day, you started getting tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did, Daddy.
And as your loving father, I picked you up and I put you on my shoulders and I carried you.
Yes.
And just like that, God carries us when we're tired and worn out and we don't think we can make it. That's what it's like. That's why you don't need to be afraid.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but Dad, I don't know if it's a good illustration.
It's a great illustration.
Well, Dad,
It's fantastic.
But Dad, if you think about that day though, Dad, I mean, you put me on your shoulders, you know, and it could have been like the footprint story, you know, like
very much
one set of footprints.
Yes.
But Dad, here's the difference of that, Dad, because you had me on your shoulders and we'd go under those bridges and every time, bam, 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 bam. Dad, hitting my noggin a lot, Dad.
No.
I'd rather there be two sets of footprints, Dad.
And what happened? Well, you fell asleep, didn't you?
You say that, a medical examiner would probably go, he passed out, you know, so.
Tomato, tomato, all right? But you fell asleep.
I talked out, fell asleep, yeah.
And we got to leave early.
Uh-huh.
Not thy will, but my will be done. This is a fantastic illustration.
Touche, Daddy.
It's not about
Touché.
You.
Touche.
Okay. It's all right. You go back to sleep, all right?
Yeah, God's bigger than the booger monster.
Bigger than the booger monster. Yeah. You don't need to worry about it, all right?
Hey, Dad, can I ask one last question to end this skit?
Yeah, I thought it was over, but okay.
Dad, you're my daddy, right?
I am your daddy.
How old am I in this skit?
Let's say 4. I don't know. Your mom keeps up with that. I'm not really sure when your birthday is.
But Dad, you're my dad.
Uh-huh.
Full head of hair.
Yeah.
Nada. Nothing. Zippo.
Buddy. That's sharp. That just looks good. All right?
Yeah, my kids are making fun of me at school, Dad.
No, they're not.
Yeah,
no,
they are, Dad.
No.
You maybe like a nice little sweet moral, little moral lesson, little nugget before
sure.
I go to bed.
Listen,
Dad.
Here's the thing. I got
because,
it. I got you covered.
Because, Dad, people are making fun of me.
No, they're not making fun of you. They, they're jealous of you.
Oh,
yeah.
Is
yeah.
that what it is?
They all wish they looked like you.
Oh.
Yeah. No, you know what? I'll surprise you because I was gonna tell you this tomorrow, but since you brought it up tonight, I'll tell you tonight.
Whoa, stop.
Uh-huh.
What are you doing?
And your mom
you be good.
Oh. Buddy.
Don't.
We're way past being good.
You be nice.
Because the skit was supposed to end a few minutes ago, all right? I cannot be held responsible for what it said after the skit.
Yes.
It's supposed to be over.
Don't build a wall.
I'm sorry, amigo. Here, listen. Listen. No, your mom. Shh, don't backtalk me.
Good.
Don't backtalk me. Your
I
mom and I. No,
now.
Shh, stop.
No fear.
Not, shh. Your mom and I, we're going to tell you this tomorrow, but it's a surprise. We're taking you to a specialist.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Okay.
No. I need to explain it. No.
You don't need to explain anything.
We're going to take you to a specialist.
You need to stop.
Man, listen, he's going to transplant. He's going to do a transplant
You need to stop.
Here. He's going to do a transplant on the top of your head. He's going to take the hair from your back and put it right there.
We got it. We got it.
Thank you.
Boogie monster. Booger monster. No reason to fear, amen?
Amen.
Father, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you, God, for your grace, your mercy. Lord, I know there's times that we worry and we fear things that we really ought not to worry or fear. God, we sometimes allow the fear and the worry to paralyze us from really being obedient to your call. Lord, there's nothing more important than heeding your call, to doing what you've asked us to do, God. We can't allow the things of life, the circumstances of life, to get in the way of really honoring you and everything. So I pray, God, right now that those that might be going through some situations, God, that we don't see, the worry and the fear that they might be holding on to, that they might be trying to hide, God, you see it. You know it. I pray right now your Holy Spirit just gives a peace in the midst of the storm. A peace that passes all understanding. A peace, God, that only you can give. Let us cast all our worries, all our anxieties, all our fears to you, for we know you care for us. But as the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they come to me, God. As we begin to go directions we ought not to go, your staff can pull us back and put us back in line of where we need to be, the path we're supposed to be walking. Lord, you said that we walk to the left or the right, that we'll hear a voice that said, go this way, this is the right way. So God, let us be sensitive to hear your voice. Lord, I know the worries and fears can be so overwhelming sometimes in life. They can drive us to things that stifle our growth with you. But God, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly of all we ask or think. So I pray right now, God, you just have your Holy Spirit minister to our hearts like only you can. And Lord, we give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. John 14:27 says this in closing. I'm leaving you with a gift. I love that. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Go in his peace. Amen. Bless you. We'll see you next week.